It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
You didn't get bored by baseball.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
We've always enjoyed talking about the great game of baseball. And when it comes to, I'm going to ask you to do what I asked Kenley Jansen to do a couple days ago, which is, and I don't think this is going to be about the pitcher's injuries and injury stuff and like the great conversations going on in baseball. I asked Kenley, I said, power rank the reasons you think this sort of epidemic is going on. You're a thoughtful guy. There's a lot of this we can't lean on science or analytics or certainty. We can only lean on sort of what we think. What do you think if you're going to power rank it?
I think you have to. I mean, you got to try to lean on science, right?
What I'm saying is that some of the participants in the power ranking would be things that, like, for instance, the pitch clock, right? So we don't, it's like cell phones. Who knows how they're going to impact us 30 years from now? I don't know. Like, we have an educated guess. You know, that's why I say,
yeah. You know, let me list the things first, right, that I think are an impact.
Okay.
And then I'll try to put them in order, but I don't know if I can do that.
Okay.
But you got the pitch clock.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a factor? You got the crackdown on grip.
Yep.
Enhancements, let's call it.
Yep.
And then you got, let's just call it like the emphasis on, you know, maxing out your velo and movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spin rates, whatever you want to call it. But you're trying to make your stuff as nasty as possible. And that's kind of a league-wide, baseball-wide thing. What else we got? And then you got, I think the other piece is kind of the usage of guys.
Mm-hmm.
So starters, you know, are not expected to throw 200 innings anymore. You know, it's try to throw 140 dominant innings. Relievers, kind of the same thing. Like, we'd rather have you throw maybe less innings, 55 innings, but you better be throwing every pitch as nasty as you possibly can. You know, don't save anything so that you can throw 75 outings. Like, we'd rather have you really good for 55. And you see that with, you know, the Dodgers, I think, are really good at that. They'll take, like, you know, maybe an older guy who's coming off an injury, and they'll be like, hey, we're going to try to get 45, like, really good innings out of you. They'll put you in, you know, let you start on the IL. Limit your exposure and stuff like that, which I think can be a good thing. But I think those are, just the emphasis on the speed. Then we go back to that. The emphasis on maxing out your velocity and your stuff that starts in Little League now. I've seen it with my friends' kids and stuff, you know, in the off season travel ball, like the way they train. It really, so you got like 13-year-old kids throwing weighted balls, right? Some of them doing it. Oh, yeah. Some of them doing it properly and following a program and good coaching. Some of them just chucking the hell out of it and saying, I hope I throw 100 one day. So, you know, part of that is I think the youth training has gotten better, but not everywhere. But I think one thing it has done everywhere, it's gotten more intense and more aggressive. You know, so you got middle school, high school kids getting really strong really early, which is that in itself is probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. But that's making guys move better, move faster at an earlier age, putting more stress on the arm at an earlier age, mm-hmm. you know, taking more practice reps, not just to command their fastball down and away, which is what I kind of grew up doing, but taking more practice reps to see how many times I can touch my max velo, whatever that is, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, I threw a ton as a kid. Like I threw more than any of my friends. I played catch, you know, I'd be bored. I'd go throw balls into the net in my yard, but I'm trying to think back. I don't think a lot of those throws were like fully max effort.
But also you were, Daniel, I'm guessing you were sort of a unicorn, maybe with the kids you grew up with, where I said, okay, you know, Daniel throws this hard, but little Johnny across the street is never going to happen. But the problem is now everybody is involved in baseball. They're seeing the YouTube clips of little Johnny across the street throwing, 90 at the age of 13. And then their parents are saying, hey, Billy, why aren't you doing that? We got to find a way for you to do that because we got to keep up. I mean, the social media and that element of it, I think, and in AU, I mean, that the competitiveness of this isn't going to, what I'm saying is this isn't going away because of that.
No. And, you know, I'm not here to criticize like youth baseball everywhere. I think it's just kind of the natural evolution. But like you said, I think social media, there's all these accounts you can follow, you know, to get drills, hitting drills, throwing drills. And, you know, there's dads and there's coaches out there that just take everything they can and throw it all at their kid. And some of it'll work. And some of those kids will turn out to be pretty good. Some of them will get ruined by it. But I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, I don't think this is a 1 or 2 year thing. I do think the clock, the sticky stuff, has had an influence on the kind of the immediate thing at the big league level. But I think you're also seeing like guys in their mid 20s, you know, Strider, guys like that, like he's been training at a high level probably since he was 14 years old. So he's already had a Tommy John. So we're getting a whole crop of young big leaguers right now that are kind of, they came up in this system, right? Of like year-round baseball. You know, I grew up playing basketball and golf and other stuff too. Like I definitely loved baseball, played it spring, summer, and part of the fall. But I took a long chunk of the year off where I didn't touch a baseball and I was playing basketball. I know some kids still do that, but I think there's a lot of kids, they hit middle school, high school, and they just lock down on baseball. They're throwing year-round, which, you know, if it's not monitored closely by someone who knows what they're doing, it's a recipe for, you know, breaking down the road. So I think that's got to be it. It's like the incoming crop of big leaguers the last couple of years, they grew up in just a much more intense training environment than I grew up in.
I sort of, when I do my power rankings, that's the one I come back to. It's been this way, and it's power, for lack of a better term, whether you're snapping off a breaking ball harder, whether you're throwing with velocity harder, and really, you know, even hitting, like you just, hey, whoever hits the ball the farthest, that's the guy who's going to get noticed. And the thing is now
the velos.
Yeah. You can't get in the door. Like when you're trying to get on the radar of scouts, you can't get in the door by throwing like Rich Hill. You know?
No. And that's funny. I talked to my wife about this a couple of days ago. Cause like I said, we're just kind of in the world of getting into the world of, you know, youth baseball with our kids. And she's like, you know, I think like the whole social media, YouTube, Instagram, You can get like pretty famous and pretty rich doing a lot of things just by being a good self-marketer, right? Like in a lot of areas, right? People think, I think that that applies to baseball. So if I can turn myself, if I can make myself look really good in a video, I can throw, I can put up a high number on a throw or exit speed on a bat. If I can look good and then also have all the bling and all the stuff like all the kids do now, if I can do all that, and then maybe I can become rich and famous as a baseball player, you know, and that's just not how, like, it's not how it works in the, to get to the major leagues. Like there's a point where that just doesn't matter anymore. But the good news is there's the Savannah Bananas now and you can go play for them.
Exactly.
So, and there's probably going to be more of those pop up. So, you know, there's going to be alternative routes. Yeah. If you're a good self-marketer and you have a little bit of baseball talent, like there might be avenues in the future.
Well, listen, which is, I mean, yeah, there's, I saw a girl jumping, like she makes a living off of jumping rope. So it's, and
I can't imagine why.
and so I think that, well, and the other part about that is not only can you potentially make money just on being an outlier, like just having that unique presentation on Instagram or whatever it is, but there's scouts who now will get the attaboys from, hey, we discovered this guy on Instagram. This, look at how clever I am. I uncovered this guy wearing, you know, throwing like the this guy in Uganda who has cinder blocks running up a mountain. You know, I was like,
is wow, the catcher?
Yeah, the catcher. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that story. That was kind of cool.
So that kid, I wish I remembered his name, all credit to him, but he got the invite to the Baseball United showcase off of doing that. And I mean,
that's great. You might get an invite, you might get
little
attention, but you still got to do it at the end of the day. Like you got to be good and you got to put up numbers and
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's not, this isn't the path to ultimately getting to where you need to go, but this is the carrot. So anyway, it's a good point. It's a good point by your wife.
It was a really good point. Yeah. She makes a lot of them.
So we'll put Power Instagram. And Kenley was pitch clock number one.
There's part of me that wants to say that. And I do think it does play a role. I think there's this we call it like micro recovery. So the recovery from going from 20 seconds between pitches to now, I think we average like, it's like 8 or 9 seconds between pitches, you know, even though the clock, you know, people don't run the clock out on every pitch, you know, they're actually pitching faster than the clock. So there's that. And then the quick innings too, I think for starters, you know, if you have a 30 pitch inning in the first and you go sit down and then your opponent has an 8 pitch inning, you just got like 4 minutes to catch your breath and to let your arm kind of let the blood circulate back through your arm and let those muscles kind of, it's like a mini, it's not the recovery you get between outings, but there's like a same reason you couldn't go out and throw 100 pitches straight at game speed.
Right.
But you can do it if you break it up into 7 innings, you know. You need those 10 to 15 minute breaks are what allow you to throw that 100 pitches. So now those breaks are getting shorter and shorter. And I don't think that's good for starters either.
Right. Well, that's what you said, you know, well, how much science is incorporated, but it's another thing in the Kenley conversation was the oxygen. And this is true. What you're saying is true. Like you need to breathe in order to replenish, you know, the blood in your, to restore, and you aren't allowed to breathe as much normally as you were used to, especially, and maybe in a few years, bodies are acclimating themselves to it, but this isn't how baseball was 3 years ago. So that's not how most of these people were trained. They're trying to, and you know this better than I do, but I see guys, the days of Roger Clemens running around the field in a rubber suit, you know, for 4 miles are gone. Now it's quick bursts, sprints, that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely changed. I don't think we've run poles in a decade, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the grip enhancements, which I like how you phrase that. It's just for people who don't understand, it's simply that you have to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you have to grip the ball harder because you don't have the grip enhancements, right? So that's obviously.
Yeah, no, and I understand why they did that. I mean, it was an existing rule that they just weren't enforcing. And I think it got, with the spider tack, it got to a point where, yeah, I know technically it's all cheating, but it got to the point where guys were only using that to make their stuff as nasty as possible. I was so sticky. I didn't even know how to. I tried to play catch with it one day before they banned everything and couldn't. I was like, I can't do this. But just the lighter stuff, the dab of pine tar on your glove, the little bit of sunscreen and rosin, mix them together. Yeah, that can get tacky, but I think most guys were using it. Like I initially was introduced to it when I was in the minor leagues coming up. And I couldn't consistently replicate my feel of the baseball in different environments. So like a super dry environment in Arizona, Colorado, California, the ball to me felt completely different than it did in Atlanta, Baltimore, you know, Boston in the summer. And it drastically changed the shape of my pitches. And it wasn't because I could actually get grip with some sweat and some rosin, right? Then you go to a dry environment or a really cold environment where you're not sweating at all and you can't replicate it. The ball feels, it's like a cue ball. It's like a powdery cue ball. And it's still that way. Like you go to Colorado, it's hard to grip the baseball there. We got the dryness, a desert dry with the cold weather for a lot of the season on top of it. So it's like double dry, you know, cause you're not sweating a lot there. It's hard to replicate consistency with just rosin. It's still an issue. So yeah, you're going to have to grip the ball harder. And I can't imagine that doesn't impact it.
So all these things we were talking about are guys, you know, when this stuff starts mounting up, these injuries, is this a conversation? I would imagine it is in the clubhouse of like having, I don't know if anyone's saying, okay, everyone go around power rank this stuff, but it must be in when the guys that you were around, people talking about this stuff, right?
Yeah, we talk about it. I mean, I just came from Arizona where we had Herman Marquez, Antonio Senzatella, and Lucas Gilbreth all coming back from Tommy John. And then I'm there rehabbing my knee and my elbow goes out. So yeah, it's a thing where we were talking about it a lot. And just Gilbreth's a guy you should have on here. He's younger guy. Actually, he's not that young anymore, but lefty, really good reliever when he's healthy. But he's interesting because he's a super smart guy. He's just finishing up his Tommy John rehab. And he's just got a lot of interesting thoughts on the causes of this. He runs his own facility in Colorado in the off season, and he deep dives into the science of pitching. So,
all right, well,
he'd have a lot better answers than me on it.
No. Well, you've had excellent answers, but I officially have been inviting him. Tell him we pay in t-shirts and smiles. So
absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of smiles, you brought a smile to all of our face by hearing your voice, seeing you, and hearing the story about your son wanting a dog. So
I do have one thing. Yeah. So speaking of Gilbreth, I call him Gilly. Gilly and I were rehabbing together in Arizona. We started a little project together. So we're both really into hunting, kind of different types of hunting. He likes the duck and elk hunt in Colorado. I'm southeast, more like whitetail, turkeys and stuff. But we're trying to kill all this time, right? Because you're rehabbing, you do a couple hours of work in the morning, and you have the whole afternoon to kill. So we started a podcast kind of based off of his. He has an outfitting company that he runs out of Colorado called Major League Hunts.
Okay.
So it's a hunting podcast, but it's hosted by me and Gilly.
Oh.
Two pitchers, two major league pitchers.
I
telling
see.
Telling our what's that?
I had no idea. Like, why?
Oh, it like came out. It kind of came out of nowhere. Like 3 weeks ago, we've got a few episodes recorded. I think one of them's live. So, Major League Hunts podcast. Check it out.
You is it on YouTube? Like, is it?
I think we're on Spotify and iTunes right now.
Okay, Major League Hunts.
That's it.
All right. Well, it's just the podcast world is one big happy family. Usually, but in this case, it's listen, we have our sister podcasts, and now we have a new sister or brother, Major League Hunts. I like that. Is it, you have fun doing it?
Oh, it's a blast. Yeah. That's, I prefer to talk about hunting over just about anything. So,
yeah. Well, that's how guys usually are.
We're going to try to get some other players on there, guys, you know, from around the league who are into hunting, and just kind of interview them, tell their stories and why they love it, what kind of hunting they like to do. And, you know, just kind of show fans of either hunting or baseball or both, and just show the other side of some guys.
Who would be the right now you say, okay, this is the guest that I want to have on?
Yeah.
Who's the guy?
So, we've made a list. Our teammate Charlie Blackman is near the top, but he's pretty easy. I think we should be able to get him.
He's been on this podcast pretty well. Okay.
There you go. So yeah. Chuck is one. But the kind of the pinnacle of guys, like if you just look at like who's a really good player that also likes to hunt, is Mike Trout.
Ooh, he was just on. I wish I knew. I just had him on.
Trout's a big deer hunter. A lot of people don't know that because he's from New Jersey, but apparently they have deer up there. But he hunts, I think he has some other places too.
Okay.
So right. I know Mike a little from our Team USA time together. So I might, we're working our way toward a guest list.
How are you? Is it, I know that I'm getting to the weeds. What, is it once a week or once a month, or what is it?
I think we have like five recorded, so I think we're going to put out one a week for a while, and then, you know, might be a little tough in season. I'm going to be rehabbing. Gilly's going to be pitching, but we're going to do the best we can to get one out.
Most importantly, do you have a logo and do you have gear?
I believe we have a logo. The gear is actually, he has some gear from his outfitting company, which shares the same name.
Okay.
So we have some, but we need more.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will do everything I can in every fabric of my being to help Major League Hunt. So, yes.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Well,
it's a fun little.
I love it. I love, as I said before, like you said, I love talking hunting. Like, this is, players like love talking about everything else but baseball most of the time.
Yeah.
It's Mookie.
It's anybody who's, you know, I think we all love baseball, but it's anybody who's, it's something's their job. You know, you can love it. You do like talking about it, but you end up talking about that one thing so much. Like, oh, I have these other interests too, and I want to dig into that.
Oh, I've told this a bunch of times in the last, whatever, 6 months, but I sat down with Mookie, and I used to do podcasts with Mookie back when he was with the Red Sox. Every year in June, we would sit down and be like, okay, one time, and it was lit at 26 minutes every time, and we would land, and it was like, okay, we'll go through the contract stuff and all of that, whatever. But, you know, sometimes when we start talking about basketball, it was, here we go. And then so I saw him with the Dodgers, sat down with him, and 20 minutes, all we did was talk about podcasting. And it was like a totally different
person. Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, next time you talk to Papelbon, put it in his ear. See if we can get him on.
I'll see him today.
Okay, throw it out there. Say I started a podcast. And if he shows a little interest, shoot me a text.
Just have the lawyers ready.
Let me know.
Well, yeah, I'll have a lawyer.
Well, I don't know. It'd be interesting, though. It'd be fun. It'd be fun. And I know he's got some good stories.
Oh, but he would be great for that. Yeah. All right, consider it done. All right. All right. Awesome.